Praise God indeed. Hope everyone's doing well on this beautiful, beautiful Sunday morning God's given us. Isn't he great? God is great.
Yes,
all
amen.
The time, all the time. We're going to go to the Lord in prayer this morning as we open up. If you can, just please stand and honor the Lord. We're just going to ask for his mercy and grace. It's always sufficient in everything that we do. But we were talking about prayer in Sunday school class this morning and how we pray for one another. You know, it's a wonderful thing to have brothers and sisters in Christ. Love each and every one of you. We thank you for your prayers. We thank you for your dedication to the Lord, and it shows in the worship. And as we get ready for so many things going forward from the revival and all the other exciting news that's going forth in our church right now, we just want to lift the Lord up. If you have a prayer request this morning, just show by the raising of your hand. God knows and sees each and every one. Our most gracious and heavenly Father, Lord, we just praise you. Lord, we just want to lift you up and honor you, dear Lord, and thank you, dear Lord, for this beautiful day you've given us, dear Lord. Lord, for this beautiful sky, dear Lord, for the fresh air that you've given us, dear Lord, we just thank you for your mercy, your grace, and your love. Dear Lord, now, dear Lord, as we gather together, may we be in one mind and one accord, dear Lord, ready to worship you, ready to praise you, ready to receive your powerful word as it comes forth this morning. Lord, I ask you to minister to each and every one of us, whether we're here live or watching on the live feed, dear Lord, or at a later date. Dear Lord, we ask for you to touch each and every one. Lord, you see the hands that were raised. Dear Lord, you know the depths of our hearts. Lord, we just love you. We praise you. Lord, we thank you for taking these burdens from us, dear Lord. We thank you for healing us. Lord, by faith, we're placing each and every situation in your hand. Dear Lord, we ask for your protection, for your guidance, for your provision. Lord, for your healing. Lord, for your mercy and your grace. Dear Lord, we thank you for salvation. And Lord, we lift up those, dear Lord, that just seem to be lost right now. And, dear Lord, we know that you strengthen us. And, dear Lord, we're praying for each and every situation. And, dear Lord, place families back together again, dear Lord. Place marriages, situations back together. Lord, we ask for your healing. We ask you to be with those that are those first heroes, dear Lord, the firemen, the police, the military, and our government, dear Lord. And we just place them all in your mighty hands. And we give you all the honor and glory in Jesus' name. And everybody says, amen. Let's give the Lord another hand clap of praise. Praise God. And this is not just for the praise team to sing. We always do a congregational, but I've had amazing grace on my heart this morning and just so powerful. And the version, I don't even know what it's called, but it's the one that they do. We do it with them. So y'all just sing. They'll put it up on the screen. Just praise God. Let's all just worship the Lord.
Amen.
Preparation for this morning, I just thank the Lord for this beautiful day. As I've said many, many times, most of us have experienced many, many things. Even when we ask somebody, and maybe something happened in our life that we've asked for forgiveness, and maybe you didn't get that forgiveness back as you thought you would, or maybe you didn't feel it. But you know, God never has denied us, and that love He has for us, and that grace and mercy that He provides, so much that He paid a price that we could not pay. Amen. You know, no way could we do what Jesus did for us on the cross, that perfect Lamb, that precious blood that was shed for you and I.
Amen.
And also that's now at the right hand of God, resurrected Savior that loves each and every one of you. And I just wanted to say that this morning. It's not in the message, but as the message has been going forth lately and the situations in this world, know that there is an answer. And that answer is Jesus Christ.
Amen.
He's the best medicine. He's the best workout plan. He's the best diet. He's the best everything that these folks want to make all this money over. But if we just sowed the love and the mercy of God, that would be so wonderful. Just everybody just know that experience. Well, all right. Let's get ready for service and our message this morning. We've been talking about our revival coming up. I want to remind everybody, August 23rd, 24th, and 25th. If you hadn't marked it on your calendar, mark it on your calendar. Get off work early. Forget about supper that night. Whatever you have to do to get here for our revival. Walmart. Waffle House is open 24 hours, so we'll be okay. We'll all gather together. I tell you what, one thing about this church, when Elaine and I started coming here, folks started inviting us out to eat. And I know we like to eat. So there's a service, and there's powerful services, but God also provides our needs too. So praise God. Brother Jefferson Morrow would be ministering to us during revival, and as it's been brought up the last week or so, we're asking for you, if it's your opportunity, please pray. Please be in much prayer for this revival. That it, first of all, that it fills each and every one of us individually. But that we'll be in one mind and one accord. That's right. There'll be souls saved. There'll be rebirths. There'll be Holy Ghost filled celebration of God that we're all going to celebrate and hear His word. So right now we're going to take up the morning offering and then we're going to turn it over to the choir. Is there any other announcements that I need to bring forth? Praise God. I don't hear anything. I don't see anything. So that means the revival get ready. And we want to thank those who have been working around the church and beautifying. I know there's a lot of things going on. And also, right after service this morning, we're asking all the board members, please, just meet for a short time right after service this morning. They're going to be meeting with us. Brother, I talked to Brother Tony. He'll be up as soon as he can get away from Children's Church and we'll get started. It won't take long at all. Brother Thomas, would you ask the Lord to bless our offering, please? Yes, Lord.
Not be easy, and everything that I need, you've already given me. I remember how you told me I could trust you completely, so why am I doubting? You proved that you'd fight for me.
Walk me through fire. Pull me from flames. If you're in this with me, I won't be afraid. When the smoke billows higher,
by your mercy,
Jesus, do you feel that empty feeling? 'Cause shame's done all his stealing, and you're desperate for some healing. Let me tell you about my Jesus.
He makes a way where there ain't no way. Rises up from an empty grave. There ain't no sinner that he can't save. Let me tell you about my Jesus. His love is strong and his grace is free. And the good news is I know that he can do for you what he's done for me. Let me tell you about my Jesus. And let my Jesus change your life. Hallelujah. 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 Amen. Amen.
Who can wipe away the tears from broken dreams and wasted years and tell the past to disappear? Oh, let me tell you about my Jesus and all the wrong turns that you could go and undo if you could. Who can work it out for your good? Let me tell you about my Jesus.
He makes a way where there ain't no way. Rises up from an empty grave. There ain't no sinner that he can't save. Let me tell you about my Jesus. His love is strong and his grace is free. And the good news is I know that he can
take my cross to Calvary, pay the price of all my guilty. Who would care that much about me? Let me tell you about my Jesus. Oh,
He makes a way when there ain't no way. Rises up from an empty grave. There ain't no sinner that He can't save. Let me tell you about my Jesus. His love is strong and His grace is free. And the good news is I know that He can do for you what He's done for me. Let me tell you about my Jesus. Let my Jesus change your life.
Wipe away the tears from broken dreams and wasted years until the past to disappear. Oh, let me tell you about my Jesus. All the wrong turns that you would go and undo if you could. Who can work it out for your good? Let me tell you about my Jesus.
He makes a way when there ain't no way. His love is strong and His grace is free. And the good news is I know that He can do for you what He's done for me. Let me tell you about my Jesus. And let my Jesus change your life.
Take my cross to Calvary, pay the price for all my guilty. Who would care that much about me? Let me tell you about my Jesus. Oh,
He makes a way when there ain't no way. Rises up from an empty grave. There ain't no sinner that He can't save. Let me tell you about my Jesus. His love is strong and His grace is free. And the good news is I know that He can do for you what He's done for me. Let me tell you about my Jesus. And let my Jesus change your life. Hallelujah. 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 Amen. Amen. His love is strong and His grace is free. And the good news is I know that He can do for you what He's done for me. Let me tell you about my Jesus. Let my Jesus change your life. Hallelujah. 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 Amen. His love is strong and His grace is free. And the good news is I know that He can do for you what He's done for me. Let me tell you about my Jesus. Let my Jesus change your life. Hallelujah! Hallelujah!
stepped out, crying, have pity on us. He gave sight to Bartimaeus, there in the dust. A woman came to the well with a bucket, you know, but she left with a river in her soul. When heartache and pain are all around you, troubled water supply, well, they almost drown you. Then just reach up to that reaching down hand, 'cause Jesus is a miracle man. And he'll give you a miracle. I know he'll give you a miracle.
For you. Not only did he save our soul, not only did he take our sins to the cross of Calvary, but he promised, I won't leave you. Hallelujah! What a blessing! What a praise report we could give this morning. My, my, my. If you love the Lord, you just give him a great big hand clap of praise this morning. Hallelujah. Well, I cannot tell you this morning of a certainty what the stock market is doing. I cannot, because I don't have the information to tell you what the medal count is in the Olympics. Can't tell you what the morning newspaper said because I didn't read it. But let me tell you about my Jesus. I said, let me tell you about my Jesus. Oh, he's the great I am. Hallelujah. Oh, praise God. I'm glad I know him, don't you? Aren't you glad that you know Jesus this morning? Well, praise the Lord. God bless you this morning. My, the power of God is real in this place this morning. Amen. Yes. Sure. All righty. Thank you.
Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. I believe it. Glory. Amen. Thank God. Yes. I believe you're going to see that.
Amen.
I believe that we're going to see that. I recall a man. For 38 years, not walk. And Jesus said, take up your bed and walk. Amen. When it's time, he's going to walk. He's determined. I know he is, and he's faithful. And God's going to honor that faith. How many knows that God still honors faith? Amen. Hallelujah. We have not because we ask not. But we're believing, amen, for an absolute complete healing of Brother Terry. Amen. And I, you know, like I said, when he walks down that aisle, might as well just get ready. Amen. We just might shout all the whole church. Amen. That'd be all right too, wouldn't it? Amen. If you have your Bibles this morning, go with us to the book of St. Matthew. Amen. The 25th chapter of the book of St. Matthew. Verses 6 through 8. Thank you for standing. Matthew 25, beginning with verse number 6. And at midnight, everybody say midnight.
Midnight.
There was a cry made. Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. Can we pray? Dear Heavenly Father, we're so thankful, God, for your blessings, for your anointings, and for your healings. God, just for your touch. Father, we're so dependent upon your touch. And Father, we need it again this morning. We ask God that you have your will and way in this service. Lord, pray God that you would minister each and every heart here this morning. God, I pray that you would anoint these lips of clay. God, use this vessel. God, that you might get honor and glory. But God, that the word may sink deep into our spirit, that we may be submissive and obedient to your word and to your will. And Father, we do pray for those who are hurting this morning. Many are sick, many are afflicted. Father, we pray for your healing power to reach out to each and every need this morning. And Father, now we just ask God that you have your will and way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
God bless you. Give the Lord another hand clap of praise. You may be seated. This morning, as the Lord has been dealing with me, this week in the book of St. Matthew, and we was led to a very familiar parable, the one that we have heard since the very beginning of our Sunday school attendance when I was just a little boy. This is where God led me this morning, and I pray this morning that God will enrich us with his blessing and his anointing, and that his word will go out. Amen. If ever there was a need for anything in this world today, it is for the word of God. We have learned that we can't put trust and faith in anything else other than God and his word. Men will let you down. Situations will let you down. The news media will certainly let you down. But how many knows the word of God is true and we can stand firmly on the written word of God this morning? So we turn to the word of God this morning to bring a message entitled Empty Lamps. Empty Lamps. This parable doesn't focus
so much on the lamps as it does on what is inside the lamps. Notice that all 10 virgins had a lamp and evidently had oil in the lamp at one time. But for some reason, for the longevity of the wait, or for whatever reason it was, their oil leaked out or was gone. They did not have sufficient oil. In the preceding chapter, the disciples are questioning Jesus about his second coming. You Bible readers know that as Jesus began to end, or nearing the end of his ministry, and knowing that his time here on earth was drawing close to an end and his destiny was just ahead, that he began to drop subtle hints to the disciples that he would go be leaving them in a physical manner. They began to question him, and they wanted to know when these things would come to pass. And Jesus spends just about the balance of that preceding chapter describing to them events and situations and signs that must take place before the second coming. But I also want to remind us what Jesus said in verse number 36 of the 24th chapter. But of that day and hour knoweth no man. No, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days of Noah that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying, giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came, and took them all away. So shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Let's meet to know that as many messages and sermons that have been preached on the second coming of the Lord is still going to take some folks unprepared, and maybe not even realizing and knowing that the day seemingly is at hand. Caught totally and absolutely by surprise, if you would. Not because of God's warning, not because of the signs that have begun to be produced before our very eyes, not because of the prophetic prophecies that went forth many, many years ago, preparing those, amen, that are looking for the second coming of Christ with anticipation, not because there wasn't sufficient evidence to point to the second coming of Christ, but simply because people had heard it for so long, disregarded it, and allowed their vessels or their lamps to leak all of the oil that maybe was there to begin with. And then Jesus goes into this parable. I remember as a small boy hearing my granddad preach and some of the others preach about the 10 virgins, and I thought it was a remarkable story, and I began in my imagination to liken it like the marriages and the weddings of today. But after reading Jewish customs, Bible history, their weddings were not very similar to the weddings of today. There were customs, there were traditions that were religiously upheld during and even after the marriage. Jesus, growing up in a Jewish community, was well aware of the customs. Isn't it amazing that on Jesus' short time here on this earth, many times he alluded to weddings? In fact, his very first miracle was at a wedding. He often referred to the wedding. He often referred to the bridegroom and to the bride. Not just because he loved weddings, but he was talking about the coming of the Lord and how that the bride must be ready when the bridegroom comes, amen, and receives his bride. I want to read something for you this morning. Jewish custom tells us that the groom, upon marrying his bride, would go and prepare a place for her. Before he ever took her home, the place was prepared. Oftentimes it was a place of his own, Jewish custom tells us that sometimes it was a place in his father's house, but whatever it was, it had to be prepared before he would bring his bride home to his place of residence. Then, secondly, he would then go to her father's house where the bride was staying to get her to take her back to her brand new home. They would then go to his father's house for a banquet, which Jewish custom tells us could last up as long as 7 days. And after this, the Bible, or the history, tells us that along this route where he would go and retrieve his bride, and the family members that were there and the friends would accompany him back to the father's house. Man, some of you are kind of getting the gist of this. So those that were prepared and those that were invited, those friends and relatives, would accompany him back to the father's house. And Jewish custom tells us that this is where the story or the parable of the 10 virgins come in, because at that particular time, the young unmarried women would often position themselves along the route from the father back to the father's house from where the bride was. Reason being is because they would then join the procession and go into the father's house. But the problem was, no one knew when the bridegroom was coming, because no one knew when the house was ready and fully furnished. So there was a waiting game, and there was a time of anticipation. But for those young unmarried women who wanted to be a part of the procession, who wanted to, in fact, enter into his father's house, must wait with anticipation, and they must be prepared to spend time along the route so that they could become a part of the procession to go in. Because history tells us if they missed the procession, the doors were shut and locked. Does anybody here see what Jesus was referring to? Not just an ordinary wedding, not just a time of celebration, but a time of preparation. You must have your lamps full of oil. You must be looking for the bridegroom. You must be waiting in absolute anticipation so that you won't be left behind, so that you won't find the gates locked. So then, the young unmarried women who had waited would join the procession. But something happened. The wait became long. It became monotonous. They grew impatient. The early signs of anticipation and looking at everyone who passes, that them. Is this the coming of the bridegroom? And many would probably point to this must be him, to only find out that it was not, because no man knew the day nor the hour or the time that the bridegroom was coming. They just knew he was going to come in the same manner that he went. Hallelujah. I said, he's coming back. He's coming back for a church. He's coming back for a group of people who are waiting with anticipation, who have not given up, who have not quit, who have not fallen by the wayside, but still have their lamps not only all in them, but full of oil, and waiting for the approaching of the bridegroom. So as time lingered on, they begin to be impatient and tired and weary. The Bible says they all slumbered and slept. Come on. You can still slumber and sleep and still be full. Thank God for that, because I'm an Allen. Allens love to slumber and sleep. I have not yet been able to identify the difference between slumber and sleep. But Penny says, I got it down. I do them both. But isn't it good to know that even though there are times that we slumber and sleep and become somewhat impatient and become somewhat frustrated, tired, weary, like one writer said, even those, Lord Jesus, come quickly, because this world is in a terrible shape. Father, I can't find peace. I can't find contentment in this world anymore. I'm going home to be with Jesus when He comes. I don't know about you. I can only hope and pray and read you the Bible and tell you what the Word says. But only you and Jesus knows that you're fully prepared, that your lamp is full of oil, and that you are waiting in great anticipation for the splitting of the eastern sky when Jesus Christ, the Messiah, comes back to receive the church to be where He is, and we will forever be with Him. Hallelujah. Glory to God. But they grew weary. They grew tired. And it's not a coincidence. It's not that Jesus just happened to remember a story or a parable on the heels of the questioning of the disciples about the second coming. He got down on their level and He began to share something with them that they could identify and understand. But He knows that the ways and the thoughts of God are so much higher than ours. There's things you and I will never understand this side of heaven. But the one thing that we need to understand, that Jesus Christ is the sacrificial Lamb of God. He did die on the cross of Calvary for our sins. Amen. He came forth out of that tomb victorious. He's alive and well today. He's not in a tomb somewhere. Amen. He's standing there ready. Glory to God. And I want to tell you something else. He is fully aware of what's going on in the world today. And when that time comes, and I'm not here to tell you when it is, I'm just telling you, we better be ready in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye. He could come back for a church, for people who are ready and willing, amen, to wait upon Him. But I've noticed something. The precious church of the Lord Jesus Christ, not denomination, I'm talking about the body of born again believers, filled with the Spirit of God, striving. And I use that word striving because I want to tell you, it's not easy to live a Christian life. Come on. It is for the Spirit. The Spirit is strong, but it's hard for the flesh. Sometimes living a Christian life means going against your flesh. A lot of times it does. Amen. But I want to tell you, glory to God, sometimes the church is lulled to sleep because this mindset, I've heard that all of my life. I remember as being just a small child, the preacher was talking about the soon coming of Christ. Can I share with you this morning? It's that much closer. God's time is not our time. We know that. So we better set our watches, our spiritual watches, to His time. So not only did the five foolish virgins go to sleep, but the five wise did as well. I want you to understand, I want to clear up something right now. Had nothing to do with their intellect. had nothing to do with their talent. Really, had nothing to do with their individual righteousness. It had everything to do about the oil. Not even the lamps. Do you realize that the five foolish could have had better, more expensive, more attractive lamps than the five wise? But they ran out of oil. That lamp without oil cannot give off a light. So they all ten became weary. I want to share something with you this morning. It's all right to get weary. It's all right to get tired. It's all right to sometimes get frustrated. Just don't let your oil leak out. Come on, whatever you do, don't let your oil leak out. Don't let the sun go down on your wrath. Get everything under the blood of Jesus Christ. Be prepared. Be ready. Just live your life like the next minute Jesus Christ is coming back. But work like you got the rest of eternity. Amen. Because Steve wrote, no, I don't know. We don't know when Jesus is coming back. But Jesus wasn't condemning them for sleeping nor slumbering. Because there was someone who didn't cry, who didn't sleep. He evidently was the town crier. First Pentecostal, could we become a town crier? When we see people slipping away, when we see people slumbering and sleeping and growing impatient and weary and frustrated, can we become the town crier? Jesus is coming! Jesus is coming! Here comes the bridegroom! Are you ready? Wake up! Shake off the tiredness! Shake off all of the laziness! And get your mind and your soul ready for the coming Jesus Christ. Brother, I didn't know he was going to come in the midnight hour. I'll tell you something about the midnight hour. Here lately, I've had several nights where I wake up between 12:30 and 2:30. And it ain't because I want to. And it ain't because I'm an early riser. It's because my head gets stopped up. And when my head gets stopped up, I'm breathing through my mouth. And no, that's not thundering you're hearing. That's me breathing through my mouth. And it's actually started waking me up. It's time to do something when it wakes you up. But let me tell you something. I am not as alert and happy camper at 2:30 in the morning as I am at 6:30. One thing, Penny ain't up and ain't got the coffee ready. Another thing, sometimes I wake up in total frustration and amazement. Sometimes, where am I? What time is it? What am I doing? I don't know why the bridegroom chose to come in the midnight hour. Everybody thinks it was 12 o'clock. It was sometime in that area. They say between 12 and 2:30 is the midnight time. But even scientists and the physicians all tell you something. That's some of the best sleep that you'll get. Some of the deepest sleep that you will get. Because like the first hour you're tossing and turning, then after you get those three or four good hours of sleep, then your body begins to toss and turn a little bit. And the very last 2 hours that we think is the best are usually the ones that make us the tiredest. You said, Brother Eddie, where'd you get that? From a book. Point being, could it be that Jesus returns when the church least expects it? And I want to tell you something right now. The church is sort of expecting it right now. I find myself looking at the eastern sky almost on a daily basis. I said, Lord, how much more? But could it be when the people and the church and the nations begin to cry peace and seemingly war and confrontation has subsided, everybody eases back into the chair of contentment and appeasement. And we think, well, we don't have to pray as much as we used to because I'm not having problems. I'm not having issues. My finances are good. My job is good. And let me tell you, when the church doesn't find anything to pray about, we don't pray. Oh, me. But there was a cry made. Behold, the bridegroom cometh. What if before I'm finished this message, there was a cry made? Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Would we shout in anticipation? Would we run screaming to the altar? Has everything to do with your lamp. If your lamp is full, it's a joyous time. If you haven't attended to your lamp lately, you might run screaming to the altar. Fill me up, Lord. Fill me up, Lord. Let me be ready. Let me be ready. But let me tell you, before the cry was ever made, five virgins said, you know what? I'm not going to run out of oil. No matter what happens, no matter what time he comes, it may be days, it may be weeks, it may be months, but I'm going to make sure that my lamp is full. I'm going to make sure that my life is ready. I'm going to make sure that I haven't let other things cause the oil to leak out of my lamp. Hallelujah. There's everything to do about preparation. Preparation should always take part or take place before the situation. How many of us in situations say, you know what, I just wasn't prepared for that. But if we're prepared, this is the day of salvation. Are we prepared now to say, Lord Jesus, if you come now, I'm going home to be with you? Or do we need to run back and make things right? The foolish thing about the virgins, my opinion, was not necessarily that they let their lamps run out of oil. That was a thing that they let the world or whatever kind of draw them away of being unprepared. I read that and I thought, Lord, you know, there's times when my lamp hadn't been as full as it needs to be. For whatever the reason. But here's the one thing. Do we recognize that and do something about it? Are we just used to living with a lamp is getting less and less and less oil? We're getting less and less spiritual. We're getting less and less dependent on God. More and more involved in the world and the things of the world. The foolish thing, in my opinion, about the virgins was to run to the five wise and says, give me of your oil. We can't. Unless we have enough. I believe the church, First Pentecostal, is full of compassionate, loving, God-fearing people. But Mom and Daddy, I want to tell you something. Let's say when that time comes, one of your children run to you and say, Mother, Daddy, give me some of your spirit. not because I don't want to. I can't. I need everything I got. I need the full presence of the Lord. Now is the time to give to your loved ones. Now is the time to take that companion by the hand and say, I want you to be ready. I spent a lifetime with you, but I want to spend eternity with you. Children, don't tell me you're too busy. Don't tell me you're too preoccupied. Because in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, everything that you're about can be snatched from you. God didn't say you had to give up all that. He just said, get me first. Fill that lamp up. Church, if you're here today and you've grown slack and you've grown a little bit backslidden and you're not feeling what you once was, you know, I can assure you, and don't get mad at me, but it ain't God's fault. It's not God's fault. He's pouring out of His Spirit that type and shadow of the oil. It's flowing now. I can feel it flowing from heaven's portals. Now is the time. Now is the time to get under the oil, to get under the blessing, to fill your spirit full of the grace and mercy of an ever-loving Savior. Because it was dark. I thought about if it had been in the middle of the day, they might could have made it. But there were no street lamps. There were no cell phones with the light option. They were totally dependent upon their lamp. And it would seem to me, just a bystander, that if they were so dependent on that lamp, that they would have made certain that they had sufficient oil. Is your lamp full? My dad would always get in the car with me and he would look at my gas can. And he said, if it was half full, he said, oh, you're half empty. Because he grew up in a time where there were no service stations on every corner. And he always had the anticipation, I want my car to be full of gas in case I have an emergency during the night. And what do? I'll just run by QT and get some. I'll just run back to the church and get right. What if no one's in the church? What if the church has been snatched away? And you run screaming through the streets. Give us of your lamp. Give us of your oil. Pray with me. Pray with me. Oh, have mercy on me. Lord, I need you now. Where were you then? God. Church, there is a very real necessity that we get real with God. Amen. Not just a church member, not just a pew sitter, but get real with God. Because the older I get, the more I see I need Him and the less I need of this world. I don't need the confusion of this world. I don't need the perverseness of this world weighing on my heart and weighing on my mind and impeding me from being the child of God that He wants me to be. But now is the time of preparation. Now is the time to make sure that you can get the oil, that spiritual oil that Christ Himself was talking about. This is nothing more than a type and shadow of the Christ returning for His bride. Thought it was very unique and actually just very profound that Jesus used this analogy of the Father's house. The Son went away to prepare a place for His bride. Jewish custom. But when He went and received His bride, He went to his Father's house. If you can't see the intention of the parable of the 10 virgins, then maybe you need to say, Lord, enlighten me. Because many times I had preached it, many times I had heard it, but I never really got into the Jewish custom of the wedding. But everything that Jesus' timing was perfect, just after the disciples were asking him about the second coming. And he spoke to them in a parable. Why? So that they could understand. So that they could simply know. Now, if you don't want to research the Jewish custom, that's fine. That's not what this message is about. This message is meant to be in the simplistic form. And this is about as simplistic as I can preach it as a town crier. Get right or get left. There's no in between. Now is the time to get right. Would you stand? Please, every head bowed. I really believe the anointing of the Holy Ghost is in this sanctuary this morning. And I pray that it's caused concern in our soul. I hope that it has. It has mine. But only you and God know. Are you ready? Are you ready? Not are you planning to get ready. Not are you planning on the revival coming up to really get on fire for God. But are you ready now? Should that day or should that hour come? You see, I don't want anybody's blood on my hands. Sure, we could have preached the walls of Jericho falling down, and they will. We could have preached Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego coming out of the fire, and they did. We could preach Daniel watching the lion's mouth be closed, and they was. Man, but if you want real victory, make sure your lamp is full. Make sure your soul is full. Make sure that you're ready. Please. As I give you an invitation this morning, would you come and prepare now? Listen, I know what Satan said. Oh, don't go up there. People think you're lost and going to hell. That's what he says all the time. Listen, make sure that you're ready. Make sure that you hadn't got to tell me that you're ready. Just make sure that you are ready. Certainly, if not today, sometime, please, in the very near future, make sure that you are prepared. Hallelujah. Please, no one looking around. Please, every eye closed. But if there's anybody here today that is uncertain about a loved one or a friend, would you just slip your hand up and say, you know what, I'm going to be praying for them. You can be their town crier. You can be the one that says, behold, the bridegroom cometh. Not only that, you can point them to Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Would some of you elders come around? Let's pray this morning with his sister.
Lord, in the name of Jesus, we pray right now for this message. Father, we pray for this sister, God. Give her the desires of her heart, God. Let her know assuredly right now, God, that she's ready. God, and pray for her family, Lord. We pray, God, that you would have them ready. Prepare them right now, God. Lord, for your returning, for your soon returning. Lord, not only her, but every family member of this church, God. Every single one of us today. God, we stand with our arms and our hands outstretched, beckoning you, Lord, to make sure that we're ready. Lay aside every weight, every sin, that there's no ease of any settlers.
Thank you, Jesus.
Father, we want to be a part of that procession, that holy procession,
yes, Lord,
that marches into heaven. In Jesus' name.
Praise your holy name.
Let it be God, Lord.
Thank you.
Let it be
Jesus.
God.
Bye.
mountain seems too high, when every river looks too wide, when my dreams are lost at sea. Strong, it carries me, though sometimes weak, I still believe. My life is built on this desire, through the fire and through the fire, Jesus rescues me. When every
see you.
Jesus rescues me. My faith is strong. It carries me. Though sometimes we so many changes. What's the news for today? Somebody's hurt, somebody's aching. Somebody's trying to find a way. Heavy heart can break your wings. Troubled soul leaves time standing still. So if you're hurting, please don't hide. Lift up your head, God's on your side.
Could you give Jesus a hand clap of praise? Amen.
Hallelujah.
Here's an old song we used to sing quite a bit. The older I get, the more meaning it applies to my heart. It says, I want to be ready to meet Him when He comes. I want to be ready. Amen. I don't want to have to get ready. I want to be ready. I pray, God, that each and every one under the sound of my voice today is ready when that day or hour comes. It may not be the catching away of the saints, but remember, we're only one breath away from eternity. God bless you. I love you.
Hope to see you tonight. Amen.
Praise God. Let's give the Lord another hand. Hallelujah. Praise God. I hear a voice. Yes, ma'am. Pray right now as we close. Absolutely. For Brother Philip. All the other prayer requests. Sister Linda. Oh, it's Tuesday night. All right. Exciting. Exciting. Out of Bell Group. We've been meeting Tuesday night. Still at 6:30 over in the Curtis Center. Praise God. Love having all y'all with us this morning. All of you watching online. With this message is so powerful. If anyone online is watching this morning or maybe at a later date, the Lord's touched you and you need to find that peace that only He can provide, please let us know. We'll continue to pray with you. Put it in the comments section. And we just love each and every one of you. Praise God. Praise God. Well, with this prayer, we're going to take an intermission until service tonight. Come back with that expecting something from the Lord this evening. And just continue to be in much prayer for our revival, for our services, as we get closer and closer to the Lord's calling us home. Praise God. Our most gracious and heavenly Father, Lord, we do thank You for allowing us to gather in Your name and in Your house. Dear Lord, as Your word was read, dear Lord, as Your message came forth, dear Lord, we thank You, dear Lord, for allowing us the opportunity to be part of it, to feel Your presence, to feel Your spirit, dear Lord. Now as we prepare to depart for this morning, we thank You for all that was here, not only here, but in the children's church and in the nursery. Lord, we thank You for Your love, Your mercy, and grace, dear Lord. And as we prepare to depart, we ask You to keep us safe. Bring us back at our appointed time, dear Lord. And, dear Lord, we just give You all the honor and glory in Jesus' name. And we all say, amen, amen. Amen. Have a wonderful, wonderful afternoon. See you this evening.